I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This morning, for the first time ever, JJ and Joanne's Comedy Corner is live in the studio with Paul Mercurio.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. I got the sombrero on.
Beautiful.
I'm ready to go.
Cinco de Mayo yesterday.
Does it still smell like margaritas?
It does.
Margarita and sweat.
And there's some, and some women's underwear in here. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. It's crazy.
Paul, that's private.
He says he puts that in there just to make it fit better. Welcome back, live comedy. Have you done a stage show yet, or is this your first weekend?
I have not done stand-up for close to 3 years, over 2 years. This is my third weekend of shows, so basically I'm coming back, and my first time back since 2019.
So what's it like?
I don't want to get tackled on stage, first of all.
Yeah.
Right. Amen, no
so
kidding.
I'm going out with four bouncers and a bazooka and pies.
Right.
So anybody wants a piece of this, come at it.
Well, funny you should mention that because, ironically enough, our next guest sitting out there in the green room is Will Smith.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay. Can we bring him in now?
Okay. Ow! It was a joke, Will. It was a joke. It's so nice
to
be back.
Keep Joanne's name out your fucking mouth.
Yes. Wow. I can do anything I want on this show.
Yes.
Son of a bitch.
What did you think when you saw that?
My wife was watching in the other room because we try to stay apart as much as possible. And I'm extremely annoying. And she goes, "You got to see this." I go, "What?" She goes, "Is this real or is this staged?" And I had to watch it four times and go, "I think it might be real, but it could be staged because it was so outrageous that there's no way that that would happen, let alone to Chris Rock to on the Oscars." To me, the funniest part was the dynamic of husband and wife.
Oh,
no matter what your status, what economic stratosphere you're in, it's always the same.
Yep.
He laughed. He looked at her. He went, "Uh-oh, she doesn't find it funny."
Exactly.
It's like when you're in a bar and the wife goes, "You gonna let him talk to me like that?" I'm like, "All right, I'll go beat him up." Like, it was a classic, you know. And then I'm like, "It's real." And I thought, that's ridiculous. Look, if you don't like the joke, first of all, it was a weak, lame joke. He shouldn't have done it. Even if it was just about her haircut and he didn't know she had a condition, it was still lame. He was way better than that. But that doesn't mean you slap the guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you don't use violence, and especially what's going on in the context of what's happening in the world and not to get too serious, but the Ukraine and suppression of people's rights and free speech. That is not what you do. You don't go slap somebody, you know, and they had a platform. Social media. They could have a press conference. They're Will Smith, for guys.
Right.
Jada Pinkett Smith. And so I just thought the whole thing was, and I don't know. I grew up Italian, and we fought a lot in my neighborhood. As he were coming toward me, I don't know why he didn't. What did he think was going to happen?
He didn't even block the hit.
That's why
I thought it was fake.
What is he coming to share a recipe? What does he think he was going to do? Like, I would have backed up and got myself ready.
What are you doing, dude?
Yeah. Well, I'm like every guy. I think I know karate. I really don't. You know, I have all these lame moves, and then I throw my hip out. But so I just thought it's crazy. I think you should be able to talk about what you want to talk about, and if people like it, fine. If they don't, and look, it's the culture we live in, and people ask me, stand up, and how do you You talk about what you want to talk about. I don't offend to offend. But look, the whole world has gotten like,
yeah.
Like every Halloween, we were talking about this the other night, my wife and I would go as a hobo. Every Halloween, my parents would dress. That's what they call it, a hobo. Yeah. Daddy's old clothes. You go out, you put some charcoal on your face, you go out like, well, you couldn't do that today. Because a hobo is a homeless person.
That's right.
It would be considered insensitive. And if you think about it, it is kind of weird. Think about it. My parents dressed me as a homeless person and sent me out onto the streets at night to collect free food in front of real homeless people.
Yes.
And it sucked. I never got candy. Every house, baked beans and a harmonica. That was it. Then my wife and I were walking in, and I think people look for controversy.
Uh-huh. You
so,
think?
We're walking our dog. We live in New York City. We're walking our dog in Central Park. It's a law. The dog's supposed to be on a leash. And our dog was. And there was a guy with a Rottweiler, no leash, and it was scaring people. It was big, and, you know, you just never know with any dog. And my wife, who's very sweet, non-confrontational, goes, excuse me, your dog really should be on a leash. And the guy, like this, goes like this. Why? Why? Because it's a Rottweiler? Like, trying to imply that we were racist toward Rottweilers? I'm like, no, because it's got a baby in its mouth. That's why. Okay. Because the dog has prison tattoos. The dog literally has prison tattoos and is smoking Chesterfields, okay?
That's why.
And then there's this old this thing about equality. Women and men are equal for me. And if anybody can say that with authority, it's me. My mother is 94. In 1960, started a furniture business in a tenement house when women of that generation stayed home and worked and raised the kids, which is an equally hard job. They didn't go out generally and have careers. She wore the pants in the family. My father was like, have a beer, whatever you want, Tina. Okay, right? And she's 94, and she will not go down. We try everything. bad milk, sour, bad cheese. You trip her. She's like a little Italian weeble. She bounces right back up. And yo, you laugh. Try living. First of all, she grew up in the Depression. She won't buy anything. So everything's like she's going to get a bargain or a thing.
Yes.
And she has a hearing aid. I know your dad's older. I don't know how his hearing is. Her hearing's always been bad. So she has this like El Cheap. She literally found it because she goes through garbage on Sunday night. People's garbage. Yes. Looking for good garbage. Yes. I know you're looking. No. I swear to God. Because she thinks people throw, not food, but like stuff that's broken that needs to be fixed.
Yes.
Right? And she found her hearing aid in the garbage. And it.
I told you. That's. Yep.
You take a walk with my mother. Within 10 minutes, you have 12 dogs on your heels. Okay?
Including that Rottweiler.
I am not. Exactly. And I am not making this up. So I'm driving her home to from the store, whatever. It's late. It's like 10 o'clock at night. She lives in Providence, Rhode Island, where I grew up. And it's Sunday night. Garbage cans are out. She goes, oh, stop, stop, stop. And she saw something in a garbage can, right? So she has a guy that fixes things for her, right? So she goes, so she finds this clock, okay? And she turns to me, she goes, I can't believe these people threw this clock out. It's just going to be fixed a little bit. It needs hands. They're crazy. I'm like, they're crazy. She's in a house dress, curlers. Her hearing aid is like causing everybody in the neighborhood to wake up. And they're crazy. I'm lookout in some bad Italian-American version of Antiques Roadshow. It's like Mrs. Sanford and Son right in front of me over here, right? And so, and then we close her store because she's 63 years and it's time the store had to close after 63 years. Okay. Okay. You know how you throw stuff out? My mother, this is how you have to throw stuff out. Oh. So my brother and I are trying to, this is stuff going back to 1970, 1980, stuff, papers. Yeah. Throw the papers out, right? I turn back. The papers are back on the table where I'd thrown them out. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. And I go, okay, I must have forgot. I thought I threw it out. I didn't. I throw it out. I look back. It's back on the table again. Yeah. Yeah, you laugh. You try living with her. You laugh, lady. Okay.
No.
And so I realize that she's picking this. She won't let me throw anything out. So when you throw stuff out with my mother, remember the scene in Godfather 2 where the Robert De Niro, who plays the young Don Corleone, he shoots the guy in the stairwell, the old Don in the white, Don Finucci in the white suit. He shoots him. Then he goes up onto the roof and he breaks the gun up into pieces and he stuffed the different pieces in the stovepipes. Yes. That's how you have to throw stuff out with my mother. You have to take it and you have to rip it into multiple pieces and then throw it in different garbage cans. Like, and you can't do it on the premises. Like, I'm going to people's houses like, excuse me, could I just throw this out? If a crazy old Italian lady comes, do not let her have this, okay?
And then, I laugh because this is what Eric has to do with me because I I'm not good at throwing stuff out. And sometimes I'll be in the kitchen and I watch him come up from the basement and it looks like he's hiding something. And he's walking to the garage.
Right.
I have gone to the garbage can and
oh
looked
my
at
God.
It and said, what did
You're
he just
my mother.
Throw?
You're my mother.
I can relate to this.
It's like and it's like a New York Times magazine with the cover of Watergate on it from 1972. Like and then the house, now she's retired. She's like, well, I'm gonna clean up my house. And the house is still a mess because she was always working in the store. So, like, you think Italian mother, you think plastic on the furniture, right? And for those listening, it's a very ethnic thing, you know, different, that you know, and that's that one room in the house. You only go in at Christmas and Easter, right? Plastic on the furniture. And there's a picture of the Pope, Jesus, and Frank Sinatra on the wall, right? And the Frank Sinatra picture is like four times the size of the Pope and the Jesus picture, right?
Of course.
Well, our house was the opposite. Because she was always working in the store. It was a mess. And so one day, this is all true, someone broke into our house while I had run out just for a few minutes, and they took the first thing they saw, which was the stereo near the door. They didn't touch another thing in the house, okay? Cop comes over to take a police report. I swear to God, he stands in the middle of the living room like this, hands on his hips, and he goes, oh, my God. What kind of an animal would make a mess like this? He thought the guy ransacked the house. I'm like, yeah, he was crazy. He left salami out all day. He threw a bra on the lampshade. He was crazy. And
hilarious.
So, you know, and then my mother's like, well, why do I have to close the store? Why do you have to close the store? How about the fact that you're locking customers in the store in the middle of the day? She can hear, and she goes, oh, I got to run an errand. And she would run an errand, lock the door. I go there one day, the door's locked, and there's a woman in the store. I go, ma'am, how are you in the store and the door's locked? She goes, well, your mother was here, and then I was browsing, and I turned to ask your mother a question. I couldn't get out. And I said, how long have you been here? She goes, 4 hours. I go, what have you been doing? She goes, well, I browsed a lot. She goes, I took a nap on that sofa. And she goes, is your name Paul? I go, yeah, why? She goes, well, the phone rang, and I took messages. She took messages for me. So now I say to my mother, now I'm yelling at my mother. I'm like, Ma, you can't lock people in a store. She goes, oh, I don't know what you're yelling me about. The woman took a nap on that sofa. She liked it so much, she's going to buy it. I made a sale and I wasn't even in the store. I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm done.
Hey, let's talk about your show a little bit. Yeah. You sent us a note saying Paul McCartney was a guest. Come on now.
Yeah.
I've been in this business for 51 years in rock radio in this city. I've never met the guy.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're not an accomplished person like I am. You know what
apparently,
I'm
apparently
he's
not.
A big deal, Jim.
Hang on. I'm going to put the sombrero on.
Okay.
I have a podcast. It's called Inside Out with Paul Mercurio. And I do one-on-one interviews with people from just different. I just have a broad. I like long-form interviews. I grew up with that. Larry King Live. David Susskind, which is out in New York. My mother used to listen to, you probably know. And it's kind of a lost art, right? There's not a lot of long-form shows other than on radio. So I just like, and so I've got musicians and Kevin Costner and Kira Sedgwick and a whole bunch of Stephen Colbert, a lot of cool people.
We have not been on yet, Joey.
And I,
no, we have not.
Oh, it is happening.
The date's being set today.
No, it's happening. Right after this. We're going to do it just with sombreros on, nothing else. It's called,
all right.
The Naked Show. And it's a lot of fun. Just don't look down because you'll be disappointed. And so
that's where you'll find my sombrero.
Your sombrero's not like, big enough for you.
Like a coat hanger. Hat hanger.
We should do t-shirts. My sombrero is not big enough for you. And then people figure out what it means. So he was performing at the show, and the Colbert Show, and I was working on the show, and Paul McCartney rehearses, and we're getting ready to start the show, and I have to get to the studio because I'm doing something on the show that day, and I round the corner, and there's Paul McCartney standing in the hallway all alone, leaning up against the wall, like he's waiting for a bus, arms folded, just standing there, legs crossed, chewing gum, with a little Colbert t-shirt on tucked in, like a little 12-year-old boy with his little belt, and he's just chewing gum, waiting for him, all alone. No security,
nothing.
And that threw me more than anything. So I round the corner, and I see him, and my whole world slows down. And we've all probably met famous people, and you probably know that moment, right? And I'm like, oh, my God, it's Paul McCartney. And I'm like, should I say hi? Should I not say hi? I don't want to bother him. But then I'm like, he's alone, without security, in a hallway. He's like a gazelle on the Serengeti Plains. I'm an animal, a lion. I'm going to pounce, right?
Yeah, for sure.
It's my one shot. I got to say hi. So I go over, shake his hands, and I honor to meet you. And I start to walk away. He goes, wait, come back. I go, what? He goes, what's your name? I go, Paul. He goes, oh, Paul, that's a good name. I'm like, I'll do the jokes, buddy, all right?
Yeah.
You just play Love Me Do. This is all I have, okay? So he goes, what do you do? I go, well, I'm a stand-up. I work on the show and act and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, oh, I love stand-up. I knew Richard Pryor, this and that. He goes, you got a kid? Yeah, I got a kid. It's hard when you're on the road a lot, right? Yeah. 5-10 minutes go by. I'm talking to Paul McCartney like I'm talking to you.
Wow.
And on the outside, I'm like, hey, cool, talking to Paul McCartney. On the inside, I'm like, I'm talking to Paul McCartney! Like, out of my, like the girls at Shea Stadium and yes. the Ed Sullivan Theater. Like, out of my mind. And as I'm talking to him, I'm getting closer and closer to his face. Like, uncomfortably close.
Oh.
Like, super, super close. Well, because he's Paul McCartney, he's iconic, and I'm checking every nook and cranny out to the point where I was so close, he literally was leaning backwards like the close talker in Seinfeld.
Oh my gosh.
I was so... Do you ever see the chimps on the National Geographic Channel when they clean fleas off their mates? Yes. I was so close, I could have cleaned ticks off his eyebrows. I was like that close, right? So... Now I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is going great. Let me leave the guy alone. I go into the bathroom. I'm hyperventilating. I call my wife. I'm like, you're not going to believe it. I just talked to Paul McCartney. She goes, where are you? I go, I'm in the bathroom. I go, why are you breathing heavy? I don't know. I just talked to Paul McCartney. And then I blurt these words out. Paul McCartney should do my podcast. I want to know how he makes music. That's what I say out loud because yeah. I'm psychotic. So I go and I knock on his dressing room door and I go, look, I know this is crazy, but I would love to talk to you about how you make music. Would you do my podcast? And he goes, yeah, sure. Just like that.
Wow.
Sometimes
now,
you just got to ask.
Just like that. Right.
Wow.
Now, at some point, us here in the studio, people listening, there was that cute girl, cute guy you wanted to ask out, but you thought, oh, they'll never say yes, but I'm going to ask him out anyway, so I know I did. Instead, and they don't say no, they do say yes, and you're thrown because you don't have a plan. That was me.
Yes.
He goes, yeah, sure. How do we do it? And I completely melted, and I'm not making this up. This is how I sounded. I literally went, he goes, yeah, sure, how would you do it? I went, and I started rubbing with my right hand. I'm rubbing my right thigh and rocking back and forth like Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man, like, I'll come to London. And he goes, we're in a room in New York together. Why would you come to London? And I'm like, like, you know, this is like the worst first date ever, right? I'm like, oh, I don't know. He goes, is it easy to do? And I go, oh, yeah. Oh,
so easy.
Oh, it's really easy. I know you're busy. I don't want to be a bother. You can do it on your phone, naked from your toilet. I'm like, oh, my God, what am I saying? I'm like, I got to get out of this room before I screw this up, right? So I go, all right, listen, I'll leave you alone. Have a good show. I'll talk to your assistant. We'll set it up. This is the mind blow right here. He goes, no, you and I will do it. I go, what do you mean? He goes, you and I will just, let's exchange phone numbers and we'll do it.
Come on.
Because
you're making that up.
No, because he goes, because they're going to make it way too complicated. And he was right. They would. And now I write my name on a piece of paper and my hand is shaking and I'm handing it to Paul McCartney and he's handing me a phone number, right? So I'm just about to fall over. I look at the number. I'm thinking, okay, this is probably a number to like a Chinese restaurant, right? I call it. Hello, Wong's, you know, and he does the show. Amazing. Now, I was also working at the Daily Show for a little while, and I was late for the taping there, and I am rushing, packing my bag. My phone rings. I don't recognize the number. I don't have time to pick this up. I don't know who this is. It's probably a telemarketer. And this is the message on my phone.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, it's Paul McCartney here. We'll ring you back in 5 minutes to do a podcast thing. I've got some time now. Otherwise, I'm going to run out of time. So if you're there in 5 minutes' time, you got me.
Oh, my
okay,
gosh.
Bye.
All right, Jason,
oh my
you hold him. I'm getting his phone. I'm getting his phone right now, baby. I got it. It's in my hand.
Oh, my gosh. Paul, tell me you got back to him within five minutes.
I called him back, and I'm like, why are you bothering me? Who is Paul? A couple of things. First of all, I love the fact that he felt he had to identify himself as Paul McCartney.
Right, right.
Well, here's what happened next. I'm now on 11th Avenue in Manhattan, between 53rd and 52nd Street, going between studios, and I hear this, and I stop, and I realize I just missed a call from Paul McCartney. And I just... You ever see these unfortunate people that have mental issues and they're talking to voices in their head? That's what I look like, because all you saw from afar was me going, listening to my phone and then going, Are you kidding me? Screamed call. Paul, idiot. Moron. Idiot. And then I threw my phone across the street.
Come on.
And I threw my book bag down the block. And then I was like, I gathered myself. And then I had to call the studio, which at the time was the podcast studio was in California. And you would all appreciate this being in radio. And I say, listen, I need a recording line right away. I got Paul McCartney. I lied to him. I wasn't ready. I didn't think he was going to say yes, right? I had nothing, right? And I call and I get like an intern who couldn't have cared. Like, he's like, what's that? I go, I got Paul McCartney. I need a recording line. Okay, hold on. Let me check. He comes back on the phone. He goes, there's somebody in the studio right now. Could you wait a couple of hours? And I snapped and I turned into this guy. I'm like, did you not hear me? I said, unless you have Jesus Christ or John Lennon in that studio, get him out right now. And then I got Paul. And then I had to stall him for an hour till we got the line set up.
Wow.
10 more minutes. Ten more minutes.
Oh.
And then he's ready to go. Please, okay, hold on. He's in the bathroom. Now I'm picturing Paul McCartney going to the bathroom. And I'm like, whatever it is, it's probably genius. Even when he goes to the bathroom, it's probably genius, whatever he's doing. And then he came on and we just talked. And all we talked about was music. I didn't want to talk to him about any of the salacious stuff. I didn't care about Yoko and the thing and the who hated who and the breakup. It was about, I got an artistic genius. All I want to talk about is art.
Yeah.
So it was about, I asked him, one of the things I asked, I said, like, whatever you do, if you're putting a piece of art out there, what you guys do, your fans like a certain thing and they want it over and over again. You go to that same restaurant because you want that food. You had such a following. Where did you guys at such a young age get the guts to change your sound so radically from album to album and not worry about losing your fan base? And he's like, he said, nobody ever asked us that. He goes, but we never thought of it that way. He goes, we would do something. We said, okay, we did that. Let's go play and have fun and try something else. And that's kind of, he was great. Couldn't have been a nicer guy.
That's great.
And everybody can listen to this podcast right now.
On Inside Out with Paul Mercurio. It's wherever podcasts are. iHeart Media, all over the place. And Audio Boom, you can get it anywhere. Yeah, it's out there. Got like 300 interviews. Got Neil deGrasse Tyson, John Meacham. We got Billy Bob Thornton, who was awesome. Kevin Costner. Really, really. Kira Sedgwick was great. Like, yeah, so I'm really proud of it. We got a lot of cool people. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Paul Mercurio, this has been great.
So fun.
Welcome back to
Detroit.
It's
so nice to be in studio with people.
Isn't it different?
I know people like working from home, and I know people here at the I know people here at the company like Jim working from home. Mr. Sombrero, and but no, it's really great, and thanks for having me back on, and it's so nice. I love coming to town. I love the club, and it's always great to be on with you
guys.
It's
Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. You've got a couple of shows tonight and a couple of shows tomorrow night.
Yeah, two tonight, two tomorrow, and then I'm back to New York to the Late Show, and you all have to come to New York and come to a Late Show taping.
I'd love to. I love New York.
We just had and please just don't throw yourself at Steven. You know how you guys can be.
Yeah.
Hey, look at my sombrero.
Don't worry about that.
Whose guest was that? That was Mercurio's guest. Well, the guy was creepy. He had a sombrero right around his midsection. And he kept screaming, Cinco de Mayo, go Cinco de Mayo. Thanks, guys.
Of course, I'll have to remove the sombrero to pee in the subway, but that's a whole other story.
That's how I got got COVID a second time, just licking too many things in New York.
Yeah. Oh.
All right, thanks, Paul.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.